We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary, see your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome in to the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use the promo code DNVR25 because when you do that, you save 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I, of course, am your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is beat writer Patrick Lyons. And joining us for this one, someone we're very excited to see but haven't heard from in a while. You know him from the DNVR golf side of things. Also one of the biggest baseball fans we know. It's Big Drew. Drive Spence. That's his full name. It says that on your birth certificate. What's up, Spence? How you doing?
What's up, gentlemen? How are you both?
Doing well, man. Well, you know, we're experiencing Rockies sweep. Apparently, they sweep bad teams at home. They can't buy a win out on the road, but they sure can now for the second time this season sweep a bad baseball team at Coors Field. Winners now of four in a row. Got good pitching today, had a huge breakout from the offense. So how you feeling, Spence? I mean, we haven't caught up with you. Michaela's been playing the role of letting us know, obviously, kind of that sense of just living and dying and how weird it's been this year just to follow the Rockies as a fan, how terrible they've been on the road. But when they put up these nice stretches at home, do you enjoy it or does it ring a little hollow just because of how bad they've been on the road?
Oh, no, I definitely enjoy it. I think we kind of talked about this the other day in like our Slack together. I was like, how great would it be if the Rockies lose like 90, 95 games this year, but they are over 500 or have a great record at home? Because still fun to go to Coors, I believe, what the reopening day on the 28th, getting 50K in there. Like, I'm still going. I'm still enjoying it. And when I go and they win, like that puts me in a good mood. I don't care what we're supposed to be this season. I don't care what everybody says we're supposed to do, this and that. And I'll tell you what, like not only just winning, but I get excited for – it used to be like when I'd watch Rockies games, when we were semi-competitive, I'd always be semi-nervous to watch the game when the Rockies were on defense and pitching. And when they were on offense, I was like, okay, I'll watch the bottom of each inning or whatever, depending upon when they're hitting. And now it's like the opposite. And I get really excited every game. I'm like, oh, is it Gray tonight? Is it Marquez? Is it Gomber? You know, is it Senza? I feel like, is it Freeland now? Like those five right there, I get excited for every single one of them. I'm not going to lie. Chichi Gonzalez doesn't get me going, but any of those five guys, I'm like, cool. I get to see one of those guys start and they've been, I mean, overall with better offense and a drastically better bullpen, the starting rotation is a playoff rotation. I'm sorry. It just is.
It's a solid staff. And even with all the struggles that they've had in the past week plus, again, I mean, right now they got a four-game win streak. So, you know, struggles can be relative, but when they're out on the road, they've been getting really great starting pitching. Like, that's been consistent. That's been the one thing that we discussed the other day, that, you know, as bad as they've looked at times out on the road, and as much as the offense has struggled from time to time, they're not projected to be a 100 loss team because of the run differential, because even the games that it seems like they've got no chance on winning, it's still 2-0 or 3-1, whatever it is, it's a close ball game. And if you're really that bad, it's going to be hard to lose that many games. So the starting pitching has definitely kept them in this. And even today's game, starting pitching got it done, because once the bullpen came in.
Got shakier again there, didn't it?
Got you interesting.
You guys know this Beatles song from our guy, Wild the Innocent. I'll do it the best justice that I can. Why don't we do it in a row? You know that one? A little more bluesy Beatles track.
I think it might be a second side of the White Album.
I think that's right. Yeah. Why don't we do it in a road? Well, a lot of reasons why they don't do it in the road, but you got to be excited they're doing it at home. And like you said, I actually think some of the best ways to talk about the performances over this three-game set is to get right into our 20th and Blaze. So, because I was going to start talking about one of the players who pitched really well today, and I was like, you know what? He's right there in our fifth spot. So I think it allows us to go immediately into the five guys most responsible for the Rockies' quality play recently. And today, Austin Gomber out there, six innings of shutout baseball, really hitting his spots, mixing and matching on a day game. You know, Patrick and I talked about it in the series preview, day game. Fly ball pitcher. It's hot at Coors Field. He let a few of those things get out near the warning track, but still not even then. He really wasn't challenged. The couple of hits that the Rangers did put up against him today, singles that weren't hit especially hard, one of them on the infield. He's doing the thing. I'll bring up some numbers for recently, unless Patrick's got him. I know you had him last time, but over his last five, six starts, he's been really good.
He has been, and if, you know, you go back and throw his last couple starts in and include that, you know, you've got a couple home run games where he was actually giving up the long ball a little bit, but even still, one walk in his last three starts, which is pretty darn good. You have 18 innings pitched, so he's been averaging, you know, six an outing, which you like, and even with today's shutout, only three earned runs. Four earned runs in those three combined starts. So he's 2-1 there, including some workout on the road. But we know he can do it on the road, but that curveball on the moon, still been pretty effective. And I know the Rangers have been scrapping. You know, I said coming into the series, Adolis Garcia leading MLB in home runs, and yet he goes away with zero. He did not add any to his ledger there. And so I think that might be a little bit of a surprise to some people, thinking, hey, this is one of the hottest hitters in the game, 11 home runs in the month of May, and yet did not get any off of Austin Gomber. Spence, when you heard that one of the guys coming over in the Arenado deal was a fly ball pitcher, did that immediately make you tap out, or were you hoping maybe there's something we're missing here?
Yeah, I got a little worried about that, not going to lie, because we've seen the success that guys like Freeland has had and not being a fly ball pitcher at Coors Field. And Freeland's like, what I love about Freeland even more than he's a, you know, Colorado native, but he's always a guy that's defending that he can, you know, if you're a good pitcher, you can pitch anywhere. Like, the Rockies have been no hit before at Coors Field. It's not like it's, you know, it's, We've talked about it, how it gets blown out of proportion, but I was a little worried. And at the same time, though, he has an ability to miss bats, which I like. You know, I think if you miss enough bats, then even if you allow a few fly balls, I think the Rockies have other than, you know, Charlie Blackmon's aging, but the Rockies have a fairly athletic, defensively speaking, outfield. And like we saw Tapia make a few unreal catches this weekend. Or this week, excuse me, and Garrett Hampson flies around in center field. So I think hitting the ball to the outfield it's not as detrimental as people may think, especially in Coors. There's a lot of ground to cover, but they've got some guys that can cover it, especially on the left side and the center.
And he's allowing the hitters to beat him. He's not allowing himself to get beat.
Yeah, the no walks, man, is huge.
One walk in his last 18 innings, 19 strikeouts, 19 to 1 strikeout to walk ratio. And you can go back and look through the entire month of May. And
I was going to say, I've got it for May since you brought it up. 37 strikeouts to 4 walks coming into today. So add.
Absolutely incredible. Yeah. That is my biggest pet peeve. There's a lot of pet peeves you can have in baseball. Not scoring a run from third base with less than 2 outs, et cetera. Walking players, especially like 7, 8, 9 in the order, and not letting them try to put the ball in play when they're hitting like 130, 140, guys like that. I'm like, no, that just can't happen.
No. Or to like lead off innings, or when you're up by 9 there at the end, Yancy, that was some brutal stuff. Well, let's do the next guy on. Before we get to the next guy, I should say really quick, just on Yancy Almonte, because I'm sure some people want to talk about it. I just tweeted out from DMVR Rockies, like the guys, you know, when they talk about a hitter being in the rocking chair, where you're late on the fastball, you're early on all the off speed stuff, everything you do, your mechanics are going back and forth, and you can't just get your best swing off. You can't get your best swing off. That's Yancy Almonte on the mound right now. I said he's a washing machine. Like, he's not repeating his delivery from pitch to pitch. And I mean, you don't normally see that in the big leagues. You'll see that in the minors, but usually there'll be little things, but sometimes he's falling off one way. Sometimes he's falling off the other. Sometimes he's letting it go too late, sometimes too soon. And it's like I said on Twitter, any other year, this guy would be getting an opportunity to work it out in the minors. I know he's out of options. You figure those things out. But you send him to an alternate site, you do whatever, but he's going to have to work through it against major leaguers this year, because that's just the roster the Rockies have. So it's going to be a rough year for him. I've talked to Adam Ottavino about his nightmare of a season, if you'll recall, in 2017, about it feeling that way. And you don't have opportunities to get yourself right, because you can't go out and throw a real strong bullpen session, because you might have to pitch the next day or the next day or the next day. So when your mechanics are off as bad as they are for Almonte right now, it's going to be a long season for him, but I think we all hope he gets it back, because he's a great guy and he's shown ability at times. And I do think, and that's why I see it could be there, but I don't know that it's going to be this season. It's, you know, we'll see what happens with him. It's rough right now.
He's kind of flipped roles in a sense with Jordan Sheffield, where Almonte is almost going to, you know, need to be protected in a sense, or have a lot more of those low leverage situations. And Sheffield's going to, you know, maybe not necessarily take his spot, and certainly not take the spot I think we were all thinking Almonte would be, as possibly the seventh inning guy once Oberg went down, and maybe it's Almonte in the seventh, Estevez in the eighth, Bard in the ninth. You know, he's not going to get a lot of high leverage innings. And depending on what happens at the trade deadline, you know, maybe he is able to kind of work his, he might not be effective, but he may be able to work his way back to, you know, a more critical spot like the seventh inning, depending on if Bard or Estevez or Givens or anyone else, you know, gets offloaded. You're going to say, Almonte maybe is our next best option, but still that's like 3 months down the line anyway. Yeah. And so anything can happen in a half a season in that capacity.
Brutal, rough to see it, but glad you were saying this, Patrick, right before we came on, glad he got that final out. Top 100% agree. You know, you could have just taken the ball away from him and said, damn it, you got to find a way to get 3 outs, but buddy let him do it. And he did. So, you know, that's part of it, because he's working through. He's actively trying to fix his mechanics on the mound of a major league baseball diamond. Like, Spence, you know about mechanics when it comes to this happens to golfers, right? You lose your swing for a minute, and you've got to go and work it out at the range before just getting out there and trying to play 18. Like,
100%. You don't work on things. I fight with people about this all the time when we go out and play, and they're like, can you help me out here? I'm like, no. Like, I will not help you during the middle of a round. We can go to the range and hit 100 balls in a row, and then I can try to help you, but there's no chance you're fixing this now. And when you're trying to fix stuff on the mound at Coors Field, like ninth inning, whatever, you're up, 9 going into the inning, doesn't matter. You're still against major league hitters that are earning a paycheck. It's still tough to do. And like you said too, when you're out of it, you're kind of – you can't really get back into it without grinding away from the actual competition. And it's very much like golf in that circumstance. And if he can't, you know, like you said, can't really throw a bullpen because he doesn't know when he's going to pitch next. And some days they're, you know, playing 2 7-inning games where he could possibly go in twice in one day at some point. And it's a lot of work for these guys, especially this season with a lot of the rainouts and the doubleheaders and stuff like that. They've had a wacky schedule, and you just can't plan for any of that.
They have had a rocky schedule. I'm sorry. All right, who's next on our 20th and Blaze? And while we're bringing that up, let us toast. I've got my Black Cherry Good Company Breck Brew Seltzy. Did you have Do you have a Seltzy there with you, Spence?
I do have a Seltzy, but it is not for the show.
Bad Spence.
They have been out at the King Supers that I go to, the liquor store of Good Company and the regular Breck, because that's the thing I go to. I'm a big, especially the lemonade ones. Those are my favorite. The strawberry lemonade seltzer tastes like Go-Gurt, if you guys remember back in the day. But they don't have them, dude. I swear, every time I go in there, I look for them, so I end up buying something else.
I had that exact same problem. Patrick can attest, the first several weeks after they launched, I would go to the grocery store and take a picture of the empty spot. I was like,
MIA.
I tried again. I've only recently been able to get them regularly at mine. So get your Breck Brew, get your good Seltzy down at your liquor store, your King Supers, or at the DNVR bar.
And keep us posted too, Spence, if there are, if they become available on Amazon Prime. we'll go ahead and take care of that. But speaking of being a primetime player, Jonathan Daza is number four on 20th in Blaze. Dude has been doing it in the second spot in the lineup today. You know, he was only able to come through with that one hit, did get an RBI, but he's been hitting close to 400. That's including that road trip where everyone seemed to be scrapping. So he's been a very productive player in the lineup, and he's been doing it defensively too, and kind of shored up center field a little bit. When you go, well, we got two corner outfielders and Tapia and Blackman that, you know, have decent range, but you know, they're not center fielders, at least not as far as Coors Field is concerned. And yet, you know, Sam Hilliard's down in AAA, you know, Hamstead's been struggling with the bat, but Daza's been a stabilizing force so far through the first 2 months of the season.
Well, he's like what, fourth in the MLB in average, maybe right around there. And out of like a certain amount of qualified plate appearances I saw. So dude's just raking.
Yeah, and just finding taking over that Tapia role, right? Like no pop, but constant singles and running the bases well and being a nuisance. Yeah, up to 328 after a three hit ball game today. Solid batting average.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take 328 from your two hole hitter.
Yeah. And he's earned that second spot in the lineup. And like Patrick said, and Spence was, you know, referring to earlier, when you've got Gomber out there on the hill, but you've got Daza to run it down for you in center. He actually made a really great play today. There was somebody, I want to say Brock Holt began one of the innings with a leadoff single back up the middle, a little bit to the, as we're looking at it, the right side, his left. If Daza had to go into the gap, pick that ball up a little bit. I don't think even Hampson, because he doesn't have the arm or the experience playing center field, I don't think there's another guy on the Rockies roster who keeps Brock Holt to a single right there. He got over, he cut it off, he fired a perfect throwback, great arm, and then right after that, double play. So leadoff single didn't matter too much. But if that guy's at second base, that ground ball to second now moves the runner to third. The ball game was still close at that time. Rangers can score a run without needing another hit. Those are the kinds of defensive plays that really matter. So I love seeing Daza out there in center.
Yeah, Daza would be batting, would be fifth in MLB with his 328 batting average. If he qualified with enough at-bats, he's still behind the curve a little ways to go. But as long as he continues to get starts and at-bats, he'll eventually start qualifying. And if anyone recalls, I don't know the year. I want to say it might have been like 19. No, actually, it was more recently. It was like 95. I don't remember. But Tony Gwynn was hurt, and what they ended up doing was they said, well, he didn't qualify. So what they did was they added the amount of at-bats that he would have needed to qualify and said, okay, well, you didn't get a hit in those at-bats, and now let's figure out what your average would be. Oh, yes, he's still the best.
And he still won.
Yeah, I think I'm conflating two different years together into one, but I should know that. So we'll see. Maybe that'll be the case for Daza, but if he continues to start in center field, he will qualify maybe even by the end of this month.
That's incredible. I have a quick question for you guys when it kind of relates to Jonathan Daza and just the Rockies in general this year. So do you think it's obviously a harder job for Buddy Black, right? Because you don't have these guys especially now with Story out of the lineup, other than maybe Tapia and McMahon, who is apparently battling a little bit of a groin strain today, there's not a guy that's like, and Charlie. So there's three guys that are maybe penciled in every night. Do you think, like, are they just going to continue to ride the quote unquote hot hand? Are they going to try new things and try to figure out, is this like a do or die year for the other six guys in the lineup, most of it? Or is it like a, you know, we kind of know what we are and let's just move on. But I feel like it's really important for a lot of those dudes to solidify even a bench spot if they, you know, moving forward, because they're not getting consistent at bats, but they're hitting enough to where it's like, okay, you know, Garrett Hampson's been struggling, but do you try to, you can't, there's not guys on this roster that you're like, all right, he's going to play through it. Like Blackman was terrible for a while, but you're like, okay, it's Charlie Blackman. He's going to play through it. I don't feel like they have another guy on the roster where it's like, you know, it's like, okay, you got four or five games, right. You're bad. We got another dude that we can try out.
Yeah, no, that's pretty astute, because I mean, we've talked about that a little bit, that they don't really have anybody else coming up in the minors that you say, hey, so-and-so is taking up a spot of someone else. So like you said, Tapia, Story, McMahon, Blackman, if they're struggling, they'll just have to work through it, because the other options really, you know, aren't that much better. Right. So you're going to see a lot of mixing and matching. The only guy that you might include in that list, and he certainly hasn't earned it yet, but I think he might get maybe the benefit of the doubt at times, would be Brendan Rodgers. Yeah. Because he's a guy that has such an immense upside. I think you see it at times with Garrett Hampson today. You know, he went out, you know, yesterday we said, we predicted that he that was an easy pick, that he was going to get a hit, went out and got that hit right away. Today he had four hits. He was 4 for 5, scored 2 runs. So he looked fantastic. And even him, you go, you like his upside, but you know what? If he's not playing well, let's give Daza a shot. And Daza has been getting that shot out in center field. So it really is a lot about, you know, riding that hot hand until at some point someone has a firm hand and a firm hold on a starting spot. And they're not really in that position just yet, which is, I think, is a good thing, because, you know, if they had less spots, less starting spots, or less openings in their lineup, on the lineup card, then you would potentially come up to a point in which you say, shoot, we may have to cut this guy loose, or we may need to designate him for assignment to create spot for another reliever or something like that. And you lose a guy. In fact, you go and look right now at look at who was in the organization back in 2018, even in 2019. There's a slew of guys all around MLB right now that are carved out a nice little career for themselves in the short term. Look at what Mike Tauchman's been able to do. Kind of a roster crunch, so they traded him to get something for him. Look at Tom Murphy there, what he's been able to do with his crazy eyes out there in Seattle. Sam Howard, who we saw over the weekend in Pittsburgh, who's carving out a nice career for himself as a lefty reliever. So that's what can happen when you have a really talented club, is you can't hold on to those guys. You don't have flexibility. And right now they absolutely have that flexibility, and you're seeing it in the lineup and who's on the bench from day to day.
That is the fun of the season, right? They can just pick and choose and wait and see. And you can see that Garrett Hampson's hitting .158 against righties and go, whatever, you're playing this weekend, we need you to break out of it. We're going to try to ask you to do some things. He really can't come through in the bunt that night, and a lot of other on a competitive team, he'd have got benched for 2 weeks. But when this team, he's back in there the next day, he executes the bunt perfectly, throws out a couple of doubles, gets to work through it and try to prove, okay, I learned from that. So, that's the fascinating thing for the rest of the series – or season, excuse me. And I think you're right, Patrick, that Rodgers – is going to work into there again, regardless of how he's performing, because if it's not going to show through, you want to know, and you need 400 at bats for a guy before you really know anything about him. So, you know, I see him all the time going with Rodgers. Really? You still think we're barely at anything with him? Yeah. We need to see a lot more. And so does Bud Black. And so does everybody else in baseball. And so, it's going to be fun, but they're going to run it. And then there's going to be the trade deadline, as Patrick mentioned earlier, where they are going to move guys like CJ Krohn. And if they can get anything for a Matt Adams, which is why they're showcasing him a little bit, you move all those guys out, and then you add even more of your dude, Connor Joe, back into the mix and all that kind of stuff. So that's what it's going to be. See who
I don't see the need. Like I now I get why they're playing Matt Adams. So, you know, trying to get something for him, because I didn't comprehend that watching the games. But like, now's not a time for Band-Aids. You know, it's, you don't have a good team. We all know that. Let's just figure out who's good and who can play and who can stay and who doesn't. Like, it's just like the Broncos. Like, don't put in some like random dude that you think can maybe win you a game. Either Drew Lock's the guy or not the guy, and you move on. Same with Rodgers is the same thing. Like, why are we starting him again? Well, do you want a third overall pick to not even have a chance, and then go somewhere else? And in 5 years, he's a Yankee or something. And everybody's like, we should have kept Rodgers, this and that. Like, totally. Let the dude play. If he can't play, we'll figure it out. But it's not like he's costing us precious ball games in the standings right now.
Right.
So.
Right.
And also too with Matt Adams, outside of, you know, Connor Joe, and you know, that's been the one sticking point to a degree. But what Matt Adams and some of those other guys on the team that maybe people aren't too excited about, they also protect somebody else down in the minors. Because if you bring up somebody who might not be ready yet, you say, oh man, Ryan Vallee, 22 years old, he's in AAA, one of the youngest guys there, in the Pacific Coast League, doing pretty well. You go, hey, let's give him a shot. Well, what if he's not ready for a shot? What does that do to his psyche? What does that do to his development? And is he going to continue to develop at the major league level? What if he's not a finished product yet? So it's easy to say, oh, Matt Adams is playing over someone in AA or someone in AAA. But if someone in AA or AAA isn't, you know, moving the needle, isn't making their case for why they're done developing and they're ready to do it on prime time and do it under the spotlights of Coors Field, then they're just not ready yet. And then you need Matt Adams to just basically to take some of those blows, take some of those bumps. Yeah. Hey, you need jobbers, right? Dude, pin me, right? Pay me. You need those jobbers. 25 minutes, 11 seconds. And so those guys have an important role as part of a team or a wrestling federation, whatever it may be. And you know what? It's very fitting because Matt Adams looks like he probably could be a wrestler.
I was going to say, I think he's got a second career.
Well, watching him try to beat, I forget who it was, to first base when he fielded a ground ball cleanly and just got whooped and then almost got caught on the bases today by Hampson.
There was a lot of comedy with those two today. Putting Garrett Hampson behind Matt Adams in the batting order is automatic comedy. I also enjoyed the part where the Rangers put everybody in defense on the right side of the diamond, and then they threw him a 92-mile-an-hour fastball on the outside part of the plate, and he just poked it into left field. He's like, I'm a veteran, you guys.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not – like, I may not have it like I used to. I'm not going to go yonk on you right here, but thanks for giving me that base hit. Started the Rockies' first rally just for being smart. But, yeah. We're all ready to see Connor Joe back, but Connor Joe doesn't need to be playing once every 4 days and getting pinch hit appearances in between. We want Connor Joe getting – at bats every single day, so that when Matt Adams and or CJ Cron are traded, Connor Joe's ready to come up and pick up right where he left off. So I think that's the best sell there. You hope it works out that way anyway.
All right, two for the price of one.
Boom, boom.
We got number three, Josh Fuentes, and number two, Antonio Senzatella on our 20th and Blaze.
Your boy, Joshua Fuentes. With the defense, with the offense, I think he's batting like 500 over his in the month at Coors Field or something like that. Well, the month is only 3 days. Oh, the Rockies are undefeated in June over the last – how about that?
They've been lost in a week. Well, this week, I should say, right? Week starts on Sunday.
Yes, I believe that's technically correct. But Fuentes continues to rake at Coors Field. He's the embodiment of that thing that's annoying, but whatever, you still take the good. You don't bemoan – all the road stuff, he, you know, is not doing anything out there. But when he gets back to Coors Field, he's finding gaps. He's finding the seats. The big late home run in the second game, the insurance, the out to like dead center field, probably the toughest place in Coors Field to hit a home run where he got that one. You got to love the energy he's bringing right now.
I think you can even, you know, say Fuentes / Ryan McMahon, because they've been so interchangeable lately over there at third base and on the right side of the infield, and where they've been hitting in the middle of the order. Cause McMahon is, although, you know, he might not be hitting the cover off the ball, he's still has two home runs since the Mets series and five RBI, scored five runs. He's still making some of those barehanded plays. Fuentes, if you were listening to the broadcast on KOA, man, Jack Corrigan was quite ecstatic about that diving stop that Fuentes made in Get used to it, folks.
That was something.
Get used to it. He's a defensive wizard.
Yeah. I tweeted out, and I got more support. I got pushback, of course, because this was controversial, and I knew it was when I said it. But I was surprised by how many people just straight up agreed. The Rockies have had better defense at third base this year than they did last year.
Oh,
possible.
Hey, numbers don't lie sometimes, man.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. I am, of course, facetiously and because it suits my particular purposes at this moment, I'm choosing to like what the numbers are saying about McMahon. Like, you can end it with McMahon. McMahon's been better at second base than any of them have been at any single position, and that's his second best position.
And he's at second base on the All-Star ballot, too. Ballots just went, became available today. Fuentes is over at third base.
Cowards.
So you can vote up to 5 times a day. Per account, wink, wink. And the other interesting thing that they're doing with the All-Star game this year, I don't think they did in 2019, was they were going to do it, I believe, last year, but never happened, was a week up until the end of the voting period on June 28th. So basically, the top 4 guys at each position, everyone else goes away, and then you vote again. In that final week. So McMahon has got to be at least in that top 4 at third base because he has the most home runs, most RBI, most runs scored. Not average necessarily, but I mean, defensively, he's been up there as well. So he needs to be getting some votes. And I see Josh Fuentes get a little bit of love and be in that final 4 as well.
Yeah, why not? I haven't looked at the rest of the landscape at third base. I'll take a look. I mean, Joshua, what is – and I'm still getting used to Joshua. You got to give us a little bit on that. But he really did – I mean, it's not like home doesn't count. You can't just go, the guy's got extreme splits, so whatever. Again, it feels like we've been doing this forever. But so just 260 on the batting average, but 722 on the OPS. Man, just pick up a couple of road hits. God, he's emblematic of the entire team, isn't he?
Heart and soul. Yeah, heart and soul.
He really is right now. He's I give Tapia a ton of credit for the joy and energy and all that stuff that he brings to the game. Fuentes is the same way. But like we don't mention that as much, but him ripping off his shirt or them ripping off his shirt and the whole thing, and even Joshua now being a thing, and that play today was fantastic. I said it.
Was.
And then who was our other one? Oh, Senza.
Number 2, Antonio Senzatella. Yeah, he looked fantastic. Again, falling right after Herman Marquez. Anything you can do, I can do better. He looked great last night, even with his road start, you know, was fantastic. 2.31 ERA over his last 2 games started in the last basically 10 days. Walks haven't been an issue, but, you know, maybe walking more than you would like. Strikeout numbers have been down. But again, if you're getting weak contact, that's really all you can ask for. So some days he's going to get his 6 strikeouts. Other days he's going to have a little bit less than that. But he looked solid last night. He was really dealing.
Yeah. The big thing for me there was the length, almost being able to go 8 innings and doing it with all that traffic behind him. A couple of hits, a couple of errors behind him that really, you know, weren't his fault. That
you don't like the traffic. Yeah. But he's been pitching so well consistently with traffic.
Yeah, and that buddy was comfortable even when it's late traffic. And obviously you go, what's he going to do? Hand the ball to the bullpen. But still, you go, let's see what sends it. And you can, back to Spence's point earlier about what are we learning this year, you can kind of afford to leave Senzatella on the hook, as it were, and say, let's see if he can work his way out of this. Because if he doesn't, what's the worst thing that happens? We lose the baseball game?
Yeah. Well, I think the thing you spoke to with Senza and the length is – It's great to have a pitcher that misses bats, but that means more pitches. And I think I want to say he had a couple innings where it's like 6-7 pitches last start. No. That you don't have that when you're a strikeout pitcher, because you're going 0-2, you're picking corners, and if guys aren't swinging, you're throwing a lot of extra pitches that you don't need to be. Well, if you bust somebody in on the hands and they ground out the second pitch of the at bat, that's an out, just like a strikeout is. So I think Senz has always been one of those guys that I'm not like, okay, go get a strikeout here. I'm like, all right, go get a double play here, or, you know, get an easy ground ball out. And he does. I mean, he's shown us that he can go 8-9 innings in his career and just be, you know, he's not going to be, you're not going to watch the start and be like, wow, he's dominating this team. But you're like, oh, he's only allowed 1 run in 7 innings.
Yeah. Yeah. again, he's one of those guys that we're learning a lot. We're just learning more and more. And every time he goes out there, and that was a good one, that bodes well for him and his future for the Rockies.
Does, and that leaves number one this week for Germán Márquez, the Kaiser, the King. Talked about it on Wednesday's podcast, and he was electric on Tuesday night. Looked great, 88 pitches. Probably could have kept going a little bit more. It's a long season, you understand it. But, I mean, the fact that he can pitch as well as he does at Coors Field and has kind of put past that start against San Francisco where he couldn't get out of the first inning, he's really kind of put that in the rearview mirror, and you'd love to see him continue to do it. And if he continues to throw six or more innings and strike out six or more in each start and give up one earned run or less like he's been doing over the last month, he might have enough to maybe sneak his way on to the All-Star team, given a couple of injuries. But he's got a long way to go until that possibly happens. But we know we've seen it this last offseason and even last year that the national media is starting to recognize that Germán Márquez is one of the better young pitchers that are out there. And the fact that he's been able to do it at Coors Field along with John Gray, I think, right, you know, elevates his profile a little bit. So you hope he can continue to finish first in on 20th and Blaze each and every week.
Yeah.
Well, you guys know the stats and like the ability to see stats a lot better than I do, especially with MLB, because you guys are the experts. But I would be interested to see. So I'm looking at his numbers this year: 65 innings pitched, and he's got a 4.13 ERA. He's got 30 earned runs, but I believe the one start, I was at the game. Well, I missed the first inning, but that's what, 10 earned runs in one inning. Right.
In one inning.
It after was, you yeah. showed up, he didn't give up any more runs.
No, he didn't. Exactly. And so you're looking at maybe, you know, 64 innings pitched and 20 earned runs. That's a wildly different season. And that was one game.
Interesting point. I you just gave me like a flashback to a heated argument I got in college with a roommate of mine when Ubaldo Jimenez had done something similar. He was having that. It might have been in 2010. It might have been another time. He was having a great season. And I had remembered that there was one inning where he gave up like four runs. You know, not quite this extreme, but compared to what he was doing the rest of the time, I was like, man, you take out that one inning and the guy's got like a 0.40 ERA on the season. And I remember going, you can't do that. You can't just take out. So it's like, there's like a whole philosophical debate here, right? About like, I mean, he did give up all of those earned runs, right?
Yes.
Your point is well taken, that was you can almost write that off as a terrible day at the office. And I'm actually a big fan of doing this. It's like they do in the Olympics. Like, we should look at the end of a season, take the guy's best start, take the guy's worst start, lop them off. You know, you can maybe even do that and then take a look at you really were these things, right? Like you lop off the top score and the bottom score. It's a way to look at it, but yeah, you're right. If you were just to remove that one start, I mean, then his ERA is in the threes. He's looking like he's having one of the better seasons of his career. And it's not even a whole start, like you said, like a game where he went six or seven innings and was getting beat up the whole time. Couldn't get out of the first, hit the showers before, you know.
Before his team even hit the bat rack.
Right, right.
If my math is correct, if you remove that May 4th start against the Giants at home where he – pitched two-thirds of an inning, gave up eight earned runs. His ERA for the season would be 3.06.
Whoa.
3.06. I mean, for the month of May, I mean, for the month of April, the first month of the season, it was a 4.13 ERA, which you go, okay, that's good. But again, what he's done since that start in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Six innings pitched, one earned run. Six innings pitched, four earned runs. Seven innings pitched, nothing. Six innings pitched, one earned run. And then Tuesday night against Texas, seven innings pitched, one earned run. So that's gonna bring your ERA down rather mightily. So a lot of quality starts thrown in there. And even his previous start against San Francisco too, in San Francisco to end May, four innings pitched, four earned runs isn't atrocious, but that, you know, less than an inning, eight earned runs. Spence, you got to get to the games at the first pitch. Now you see pivotal your role can be.
I know. Luckily, that was a doubleheader, so we still got 13 innings of baseball. But we were walking into the stadium, and I looked over at Kylie, and I gave her my phone. I was like, check the score out. And she's like, is this like today's game? I'm like, yeah. He's like, we're not even that late. I'm like, yeah, that's what's going on.
You need to be on call for the next, you know, couple weeks in the playoffs with Nuggets and Avalanche, where the game goes in overtime. You got to take off, find a side door that somebody snuck out to smoke a cigarette. You sneak in.
Right.
They're winning in OT.
Done. I love that.
Now that right there is fantastic stuff. All of it putting a big, huge smile on my face. Of course, you know my smile, brought to you by our friends over at Green Mountain Dental. You got to check them out. They're located just 15 minutes outside of downtown Denver over there in Lakewood. They'll hook you up with a free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule your cleaning, x-ray, and exam today. The other thing that's also putting a big smile on my face these days is saving money by not paying too much on insurance. That's right. I went to Gabby.com. That's Gabby.com/DNVR stands for Get a Better Insurance. That's the easy way to remember it. They'll help you save a whole bunch of money. For me, it was $480 for the year. Our guy Eric Weedham saved over $1,000. You can save, on average, customers save $961 a year on home and car insurance. If you're like Eric, scooter insurance, whatever you're insuring, they can help you out just by doing exactly what the name says. Help you get a better insurance. So go to gabi.com/DNVR. It'll take you less than 10 minutes. No text messages, no emails. It costs you $0. It saves you money, which is a great thing because then you can go and spend it on some delicious illegal Pete's. That's where you got to go and celebrate your Colorado Rockies wins, your Colorado Rockies home sweeps, or even just the fact that the Colorado Rockies are playing baseball and it's fun. And so you can go to Illegal Pete's after the game. You can show them that your tickety thingy that you've been to an event, and they'll give you half off a house margarita when you order an entree. So check them out at Illegal Pete's. As I've joked before, you know what Illegal Pete's is. I'm not informing you about something you're unaware of. I'm just reminding you that right now you want Illegal Pete's. You knew you did. You just forgot for a minute. So go get some. It's delicious.
Spence, when you go to Illegal Pete's, you go nachos, tacos, or burrito?
All right. So I'm a little – so I actually don't eat gluten. And so I go burrito bowl. And that's why I love places like Illegal Pete's, because it's like, you know, the other nonsense like Chipotle, whatever. You don't get potatoes. At Illegal Pete's, you get the potatoes in
there.
Yes. And then you get the burrito bowl. It's absolute fire. And it's like right next to the DNVR bar. So anytime like we're there and it's just like crazy busy and you're like, ah, I shouldn't order food here because we work here and don't want to get in trouble, I'm like, Illegal Pete's, because I'm getting a bowl. I can sneak this in under my jacket back in here and good to go.
I love it. Love it. Oh man. Yeah.
That is good.
Potato burrito is the way.
Spence, you're crushing it on your food orders there. That's crushing good. It on the results after you get to the game. And you're also crushing Drew and I right now in our fantasy superstar draft. We did at the beginning of the season for anyone that didn't.
How is there not an Illegal Pete's at the ballpark? It should be.
Got to get a Colorado company in there for sure.
Terrible. Yeah.
We had a superstar draft, and for anyone that didn't see that, go check that out. We did that back in late March, where it's basically, hey, you got to pick two pitchers, at least two hitters, and then you can go wild card on your third option. You get points for home runs and wins and, you know, some of the crazy stuff. If a guy throws a no-hitter, a three-home-run game, same thing when we get to the end of the season awards, all-star game. And, Spence, you had the wild card of all wild cards, Mr. Shohei Marcus Ohtani. I'm not sure that's his middle name. It might be.
Something tells me it's not, but we can look that up.
Shohei James Ohtani. We'll figure it out. But regardless, you went with him, and man, he's been clutch. 16 home runs so far going into today. Only one win, but you know he's going to be factoring on more of those bad boys. You had him. You had Ronald Acuna as well, who's 17 home runs, crushing it.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about that draft. I dropped that bomb of Shohei Ohtani just because I wanted, you know, sometimes when you say things that you're like, I don't really believe in that, but I want to be different, and then it ends up working out. That was to a T what happened for me there. And if he was on a better team, he may have like 7 wins as a pitcher.
He absolutely would. I've taken Shohei Ohtani in like some random fantasy things that I've done in the past, or like I'll always get him at the beginning of a season on MLB The Show, because you're like, hey, this could be the thing. And then the last couple of years, it didn't even quite. You'd see glimpses of it, but he wouldn't quite do the thing, right? And then when you took him, I was like, well, this goes one of two ways. This is one of those picks where you enjoyed it because it was fun and you're not sad you took the risk, but ultimately you go, well, it wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. He ended up being hurt or not quite as awesome. Or Shohei Ohtani becomes the story of the Major League Baseball season in 2021 because he's pitching dominantly and hitting dominantly, and just, you jerk.
You're not too far behind him, Drew. We both thought that he's, you know, Spencer's blowing our doors off. But as it turns out, you're not doing so bad. DeGrom has actually gotten a handful of wins there for you. Arenado's been clutch. Stanton has stayed healthy.
Yeah.
Bichette is still doing the thing. I mean, maybe you could have gone Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but regardless, you know, you got it. It's Flaherty. Jack Flaherty's doing the lifting for you with his 8 victories.
Flaherty's been fantastic. DeGrom and Arenado are holding up their end of the bargain. What's really funny about my team is that the two players where I basically flipped a coin about two guys on the same team, it was either Stanton or Judge. Mm-hmm. And then Bichette or Vlad Guerrero Jr. Based on the numbers right now, I missed on both of those. I should have taken Judge, who has 13 home runs, and Vlad Guerrero Jr., who I think has 7,000 home runs at this point in the career.
Roughly.
But still, Stanton and Bichette are doing fine. No, I'm perfectly happy with both of those picks. I was taking Stanton, figuring a floor of home runs. I'm happy where he's at with 9. And like you said, him staying healthy, even if Judge is out in front, we'll see where that ends up. I still think I'm going to get my 35 home runs at least out of Stanton. I am feeling a little silly about having not grabbed Vlad Guerrero Jr. though with that Bichette pick. As well as Bichette's right there with 11. He's having a great season. I can't get down on the guy, but it was right there for me. So we'll see how that plays out, but still.
And for anyone watching on YouTube, the point system works. You get 1 point for a home run, 3 points for a win, because they are a lot more rare these days. And yeah, so you got Michaela there in third place. Mookie Betts not doing what Mookie needs to be doing. Only 5 home runs so far. Same for Juan Soto, only 6. I know he was banged up for a little bit.
Yeah.
But her starting pitchers have come through for her. Shane Bieber and then Tyler Glasnow.
Her Glasnow.
In that last round, she was dead on the money for that one. I feel pretty good. I did have Trevor Bauer with my last pick. He's got 6 wins so far. Scherzer is going to be a trade candidate. You know, if he does go to a different club, with a slightly better winning record, you know, that's going to increase my odds of getting some more wins there for Scherzer. But Yelich and Trout have been on the shelf and have not. Christian Yelich has been my biggest disappointment. It almost looks like his score is -1. It's just one. He has not bounced back the way I had hoped for. And for that reason, I'm in dead last.
Yelich was the one guy that I was – so I'm feeling good about that one so far, because he was the one guy I was saying I was out on. But I'm not sleeping on your team, though. This is a
– Oh, I'm not. I'm not upset yet.
Machado, Scherzer, like you said, that's entirely on the team, and the famous Manny Rendawa kill the win problem right there. He's pitched fine for you. He's just not getting W's. And Mike Trout will get healthy and hit 25 home runs in a month. And so I'm not worried about, or I am worried, I guess, about that.
Waiting in the lurch, waiting in the lurch. And then Trevor Story.
Wait till Trevor Story turns it on. Yeah, he's coming. Yeah. He gets back, gets healthy. Whether or not it's in the purple pinstripes or not, we will not know. But I know he's getting hot. You can't hold a guy like that down for a whole season.
Yeah.
And what could really, you know, sway things here in the final standings is the MVP voting. Because that's where I have to go back to check out how many points that is worth. But that's a big whammy. And that was really how I did a lot of my voting. Because as you said, Spence, if Story gets traded to the American League, that's going to wipe away his odds at becoming the MVP in the AL. And obviously, naturally, the NL, as guys don't get traded midseason and then go on to win that award, because it is a full season award. But everyone else is pretty much in play. I don't see too many other trade candidates on there.
Yeah, if we did this right now, who are, and obviously we know this is, if the season ended today, a lot of people would be very surprised. Yes, haha. But who are, so I think Spence has the National League MVP as of this moment in time in Acuna, right?
You could say he's one of them.
I would think he'd be the favorite, I guess. Like you said, you never know how the voting is going to go, and there's always arguments. It always tickles me when somebody says, this guy's the MVP, and that's a fact. Like, no, that is your opinion, and it's backed up by facts. This is how the world works. But
exactly. Like,
Tatis
everybody
Jr.
in the
– the only other one that I'd say – who I'd throw in the mix, Tatis Jr.
Tatis,
but yeah. Other than that, yeah, they got to be one and two for right now.
I think that's right. What are you going to say, Spence?
I was just saying, everybody that doesn't think Nikola Jokic is the MVP and tries to argue for Joel Embiid or Steph Curry or whoever else.
Look, fella.
look, I got a story to tell you.
Yeah. So then National League Cy Young so far, I think that's still pretty much up in the air, though. Jacob DeGrom, again, I feel very good about what he's doing. So I'd say so.
First overall pick, yeah.
Those things can change, but I feel solid there. American League. So far, Cy Young might be Garrett Cole. So damn you, Spence.
Yeah, well, I believe his like first start of the season, and I was real pumped about this, and this was still real fresh in my mind, our superstar draft. I think he got waxed, I'm pretty sure, his first start of the season. And I was like, oh, cool. Yeah. This is a great pick, dude.
Awesome.
Awesome pick. You picked the guy that is like the highest paid best pitcher in the league and pitches for the Yankees, and then you're going to get – well, that was when the Yankees were real bad too, and they were like, ah, something wrong with Garrett Cole and this and that. I was like, oh, okay, cool. But he's bounced back. He's bounced back.
Good.
Bieber's in the lurch there. He's waiting in the wings as a potential candidate, but we did our homework. We did well here.
I was going to say, so far all the people – and then who would be AL MVP? Is there a runaway candidate so far? I'm not sure there is. I obviously pay much closer attention to the National League, but
I mean, the guy
has injected himself in the conversation a little bit. Toronto is 4 games over .500, but yeah. You know, that's only good for
if
fourth
it is
place
flat,
at least.
If that pick on Bo, I'm gonna laugh at myself. You all laugh at me forever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm being a homer here. Well, a kind of homer because of my team, but I mean, I feel like Shohei Ohtani's got the most buzz, which sometimes That's just what wins you MVP because it's all vote. You know, like. They see him doing certain things, like he's all over Twitter, he's all over MLB. You know, every time he hits a home run, it's like the first thing on SportsCenter. So, right. But it's very early.
A runaway winner in any other thing, right? Going to a guy and making like, look, but he's awesome on the mound and in the field. That's a great actually.
That's pretty special, yeah. I think it's the same thing with DeGrom. That's one of the reasons why I wouldn't have made him my first pick if he was still available, because I was just so worried about him getting wins. But you get to the end of the season, you are gonna get, you know, that major bonus, and I think Ohtani could be in the same boat. He happens to be producing, you know, hitting those home runs, but it could be, you know, still enough just because he's doing things that we've never really thought could be imaginable, you know, for anyone. It's amazing.
I love it, man. I love it. All right, coming for you, Spence. I thought I was further behind. I mean, we knew you were in first, though. So that's a hell of a draft, man. You could potentially walk away with the American League Cy Young and Garrett Cole, the National League MVP and Ronald Acuna Jr., the American League MVP and Shohei Ohtani. You don't have who's your NL pitcher?
Walker Buehler.
I mean, it's not without
so far.
Dodgers going to win a lot of games, and if he gets hot at the end of the season.
Look, we're about a third of the way through the season, right? And so if this is a par three, they don't call him Big Drive Spence for nothing. But you know what? My iron game is strong. I think I'm going to do well, you know, again with the end of the season awards. We'll see how well I putt. That's probably a good transition for you to talk a little bit about the DNVR Golf League, man. That's been heating up. We're about to get started, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. So we actually stopped taking signups as of yesterday, but that doesn't mean – so what we're going to do is we are going to have open spots each week, depending upon how many players we have from DNVR coming along. We got people signed up for the league. We start play next Tuesday. And we're going to be tweeting out the schedule and stuff like that. But DNVR golf members will get the first access to those week by week instead of signing up for the whole thing. And then if you're not a DNVR golf member and just want to come out, you can bring a couple friends. We're going to have probably maybe around 10 spots each week, something like that, available at each golf course. So you're going to have to we'll tweet it out each week, and then we'll tweet out how to sign up for those. But come join us if it's just a one-off. I know some people couldn't get off work. Some people couldn't make every Monday, but they can only make Tuesdays. So if you can make one of those days, come and join us. We're just playing 9 holes. A lot of the courses, they offer a free drink. It's carts included. Everything's paid for. So just hit us up when you see those each week. And if you want to come play a new cool new golf course, we got 4 on the rotation. We got Fossil Trace, Common Ground, Red Hawk, and Spring Valley. So if you haven't got a chance to play one of those golf courses, come out and join us for one of those weeks, because so the next 8 weeks, basically Monday and Tuesday, we're going to be playing golf every week. So
yeah, golf and baseball, they both have those hallowed grounds, you know, where, you know, in baseball, yeah, you're traveling, you want to go to all the ballparks, and with golf, that's virtually impossible to do, especially with our private clubs. But right here in Colorado, we got our own, you know, top of the heap as far as those great golf courses. And shoot, man, you got 4 of the best right there.
Oh yeah, Colorado golf gets not a bad rap, but they don't get the popularity because we don't have a tour event. Yeah, and there's no tour event here, so nobody talks about golf in Colorado. But if you play golf here, and you play in other places like Mitchell and I do, nothing compares to the views here. And like City Park is amazing. Like mountain courses are unreal. You hit the ball way further than you do anywhere else in the country. That's a flat out fact. We all know that. And it's just way more fun to golf here. It is. So
yeah, man. Yeah. I got to get out for one of those. I mean, obviously we're a little bit busier in the summer. I was like working that day, but you know,
Spence, we'll have to take over-unders on how many holes Drew gets through before he throws his back out.
Just seriously inch myself.
I'm going 8.
That sounds about right. You know, I've been out to a few driving ranges in my day. Terrible. I've got no – I'm awful. I'm all – but I, you know.
I'm awful off the tee as well.
When you lean into it just right and you hammer one.
Yeah, that's the best feeling. It only takes one good shot to get you to come back the next time usually.
Right.
That's how you do it. Like you line up and go, all right, this shot could be totally different. This could be the one that I've been waiting for all the up notes off in the woods for. All right. And then I got another one. I got another shot coming up. I'm going to drop it. That's okay.
You find it and you hit it again. That's exactly.
You get 100 opportunities. That's right. The way I golf. 100 opportunities to make the best shot of your life.
Yeah. 100 opportunities of greatness every time you get out there.
That actually reminds me perfectly of one thing we've got to do before we log off, which is remind you about our king of the game who had 2 hits, I think, against Mike Fultonavich in his career, had been eating it for a lot of the first part of this season, but came up with a big home run, couple of hits in this one today. Charlie Blackman, your draft king of the game, goes 3-for-4, 2 runs, 3 RBI, and a home run. But kind of one of those similar things where you go, oh, man, he's 3-for-40 against this guy or whatever. Like, what are the – and then he finally got that one to hit, and that's what keeps you coming back to the ballpark. I finally got a pitch to hit against this guy. I didn't miss it, so whatever. You may have my number, but the game of baseball, man – and today was a perfect example of it. It really is one of those things where it's like – it's so complicated, but at the end of the day, it's also like if you get a pitch to hit, you got to hit it. And if you don't get any, you got to lay off all that junk. And that's really what it was. Charlie finally got one, turned on it. He's been a lot better lately.
2 crowns in the last 4 games.
That's right. He's been feeling it, man. And becoming more and more of that second Mr. Rocky, as we've said, really behind Todd Helton, passing Larry Walker, coming up on Carlos Gonzalez and some of these big Colorado Rockies all-time stats. And to see him go out there on a Sunday, we know that he had a big, you know, rallying cry with the guys in Pittsburgh about, we got to stop playing like this. We got to have some fun. We got to do some stuff. And to see him then contribute, obviously, to these wins. Everybody contributed on offense today. Big game for Brendan Rodgers. Did want to throw that out, the first 3 RBI game of his career. But Charlie Blackman solidifying himself as the Papa Bear of the team. You love to see it.
The Rockies are just more fun when Charlie Blackman's good. That's an actual fact. Yep. You can't deny that.
100%.
And to use a quote that I know Spence knows well, right now, Charlie Blackman is feeling the flow, right? He's feeling it. It's circular. It's like a carousel. You pay the quarter, you get on the horse, it goes up and down and around, circular, circle with the music, the flow, riding the donkey, riding the pony.
All good things.
Happy Gilmore.
That was well done. Well done.
Go to your home.
I didn't do any Tapia conversation today. I'm burnt out on it. Believe it or not.
Have you been having any conversations about Raimel Tapia lately?
I can't recall whether or not I've been having any of those types of conversations about Raimel Tapia. You'll have to tune into a future podcast for me to address everything that's going on with Raimel Tapia right now, because we're about to sign off, but there's a lot to say on that subject. He got more hits this weekend is what I'll say for now. the Raimel Tapia circus. It goes on and it never ends, but it is fun. Mel Spence, man, we appreciate you taking the time hanging out with us today. Let everybody know where they can find. Obviously, you plugged the tournament, but
and you're going to be at all those events, right? You and Mitch.
Yeah, Mitch and I will be at all these events. You'll get a chance to play with us. We're going to kind of play with different groups every week. We're not just going to like play with each other or people that we know. So it's going to be, I don't think it's that cool, but other people like enjoy playing with pros. And I say that with air quotes in case you're listening to this podcast. Believe me, I don't believe I'm that much of a pro, but people do enjoy playing with better players, and sometimes it improves their game as well. So it's going to be a great time. Follow us on Twitter at DNVR_golf. That's where we'll be sending out the invitations and the links if we have open spots each week for the league. And it's going to be a blast. You can follow me on Twitter at Big Drive Spence and Mitchell at Big Drive Mitch. So
awesome. Follow the rest of us. I'm at Drew Kreisman. He's at Patrick D. Lyons. Of course, you've got at Michaela E. Perkins still doing all kinds of fantastic work. And she'll be back around the baseball conversation before you know it. And of course, at DNVR_Rockies. Also, check out our TikTok account. It's fun. I'm learning about things that are fun and youthful and energetic. the TikTok account is actually a total blast. It's really hilarious.
It's a blast. DNVR Golf has a TikTok too. DNVR_Golf. We've actually had a few go pretty viral. So we're growing in the TikTok game.
I do like the segments where you're listening to voicemails that you get left, which are always very hilarious.
Yeah, I had some PR issues on that. I got yelled at by the higher ups because I let somebody's phone number play on the video. I'm still learning these things.
We all make mistakes as we go along and
take a mulligan.
Exactly. Much like your Colorado Rockies, who we will continue to watch as they try to make this an even more successful homestand against the Oakland A's, a much better baseball team coming into play. So we'll see if they can keep their momentum going. They will still have the good starting pitching. They will still have the fun position players, and they will still have the bullpen that they have right now. So join us for all of that throughout the next couple of days and weeks. We really appreciate all of you being absolutely awesome out there. We promise you we'll keep being absolutely Patrick Lyons, Drew Kreisman, and Spence Smith in here. And until next time, we will see you at the ballpark.